about the Trinity, there's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it's in the form of a triangle. They're connected. It models something for us. And I think one of the things about this morning is this morning was birthed because of relationship. And so many of you who call Grace Home, you know that I did the Camino de Sonoma back in September, and it was one of my dreams and sort of in my heart for over 5 years to do that. And as we were walking from Santa Rosa to Sebastopol, it's fun that the Reckons are here, right? Because your children, I don't know which children, but is it you or somebody? Okay. Who did a mural on the side of their building, Total Concepts building. And it depicts the heart of heaven, really, for the people of this land, the indigenous people in this land. And as we were walking from Santa Rosa to Sebastopol, Adam just started talking. He says, hey, I have a friend, Dino Franklin. I've never met Dino before. I think I've seen him one time, maybe somewhere. But I didn't know him. He is the chief of the Kashaya people on the coast. He's one of the indigenous peoples of the land, right? And so as we were talking, it just opened up a conversation about what would it look like to invite Dino to come and to share his heart with us. Because Adam knows that Grace Fellowship is a house of prayer. Like, it burns in us. Yes. And nothing happens in the kingdom without prayer. It just doesn't. And so it's sort of these connecting the dots. And we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know what God's going to do with it. But we're just bold enough to say, come, right? It's come. And so over these past several months, God is just sort of solidifying that he has something that's going to be released today. And again, we're just excited. So I'm going to invite Adam and Dino to come. And I'm going to give this microphone to Adam. Adam is going to, okay, you want me to keep talking? Let's keep talking. Let's pray. Praying is good. Yeah, so Jesus, we do. We thank you for Adam and Dino. We thank you for their yes, their willingness to come, their willingness to share, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, their willingness to help shine light in our midst. For those who are gathered, those who will listen on the podcast, and we're open to however that will lead to transformation in our lives and lead to a greater measure of healing in our land. We love this county. It's an honor to call this place home. And you positioned me here. You positioned all of us who call Sonoma County home. You positioned us here for such a time. And we know that you're a God who releases healing, you're a God who releases power, and you're a God who releases life. And so our heart's cry is that you would just come and move in power today. Move in our midst for your glory, for your glory. And we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here. I want to thank Phil and Lisa and just everyone who's part of the team and the congregation here at Grace Fellowship for having us this morning. I'm not a stranger to this congregation, and I'm not a stranger to the family here. And so I come with a lot of gratitude for how God's used you in my life and how he uses you in this community. I'm feeling a lot of different emotions this morning. There's an excitement. There's a humility. I love what Phil shared about God wanting to bring us life and life abundantly. And we know that that comes exactly how Phil said, that it comes through relationship and right relationship. And we know that what's most important with that, the start of that, is right relationship with God. I really believe as you come to understand God's kingdom and God's ways, that just having right relationship with God doesn't release the abundance that Jesus is talking about there. That abundance comes from having right relationship with one another as well. And one of the things that releases that abundance and that right relationship is honor. And I have a man I'm a man who has a lot to learn about honor, and I live among a people who have a lot to learn about honor. And so as I sit with Dino as the chairman of the Kashaya, I'm humbled because I recognize that I have a lot to learn about how to honor and come into right relationship with the people of this land. I also am just excited to be together because on the other side of that need for honor is the fact that Dino is one of my oldest friends. We're childhood friends. We grew up together. One of my earlier memories, not my earliest, but my earlier memories of Dino is we went to kindergarten together at Christian Life Center. And I remember at a show and tell one morning that Dino got up, and his show and tell was his ability to whistle. And it was really, really good. And it really impressed me. And I thought, I can't whistle yet. How long before I'm going to be able to whistle like Dino? Guys, I still can't whistle. So, Dino, it's just such an honor to be here with you. And just want to invite you to introduce yourself, share a little bit about your story as we get started.
Sure. Wow. You know, what an anointing you have as a leader, as a pastor, as God is just really using you. I mean, the minute I walk in and I see you, I told you, I had to give you a hug. That's because I just wanted some of that anointing to come on to me. I sat over here and just, you know, let some tears out. What a heart for God you have. And I think about that, you know, like that heart for God. You said life and more abundance. I'll get back to that. Let me introduce myself first and Reckons. It's so good to see you all here. And my good friend Richard up here. And me and Adam, we go back to the age of four. A little place down here on Davis Street called the Schoolhouse back in the days was a place where my parents ended up at. We lived there as kids. And that's where we kind of started our walk with the Lord back then. And didn't really know what that was all about, but supposedly it was supposed to be good. And I say that truthfully. Supposedly it was supposed to be good. My name is Dino Walter Franklin Jr., and I am the chief of the Kashaya. And what I say is I am the tribal servant of the Kashaya. I love to carry my people on my back. That's how I feel when I'm doing the things that I do as a leader, tribal leader, someone who has the ability to stand in front of presidents, senators, governors, other leaders and communities to just represent my people the best way possible. And what an honor it is to come in here to a church to do that. Adam asked if I ever had spoken in front of a church before about these things, and I forgot. We did with, who was that again? Remember over at Harvest? With me and Ben?
Yeah.
Reckons you were there, you remember? Yeah, YWAM. Yeah, YWAM. But it's the first time being in a church, like part of your service type of church. Are you guys crazy or what? Yeah, I think it's awesome. To do this is such a great honor. You know, as I was praying about this, as I was thinking what the Lord, you know, it's always about what the Lord's heart is. It's not what Dino wants to say, because trust me, I'd be up here and just probably be blabbering and talking and maybe a whole lot of blaming. But it's really what God's heart is about this, right? And in all this, I have a testimony about the journey, about how I ended up here and what God is still doing in our family, with our tribes, with our people, and how this fits into, you know, Camino de Sonoma, and how Camino de Sonoma fits into the tribes, and then how this little church over here is keeping that alive. It's interesting because I came through church growing up here in Santa Rosa, and I never understood about this separation between my tribe and the church. But it was an obvious thing that happened, and it was more for what my parents had to go through than it was what I had to go through, but obviously it affected my life because at some point in my life, I didn't want nothing to do with you folks. You know, I didn't want nothing to do with church or people who said they were Christians or people who said they were believers or anything. What did you believe in? Because what I saw and witnessed wasn't the same. So what happened to me, I used to love going up to my reservation. Our res is on the coast. We're about 5 miles inland from what's called Stewart's Point, which is just a little bit south of Gualala. Point Arena is our sister tribe. And we are the people of the fort. And I say that because Fort Ross was our biggest village site. Fort Ross is where we saw the Russians coming about 6 weeks out. And our people began to do ceremony on that coast, on those bluffs, because they felt that it was too big, or big birds were coming out of the ocean because they could see the sails, and they looked like wings. And they said these big birds were coming out of the ocean, and they were coming to end the earth. We had a lot of stories like that. It's pretty interesting how many times we felt like the end of the world was coming. And there's a lot of stories around that that I could go into, but one of them even has to do with the flood. Pretty interesting. Well, it was the end of the world that we knew when the Russians landed. And so that's who my people are. We are from those lands. We were the ones who were given the responsibilities of stewardship over those lands. And that was taken from us. And so we ended up on the mountain up high, 5 miles away from the coast, estranged from the coast, never were able to step on land unless it was a public beach without being trespassers. Until about 16, when by the grace of God, we got land back that touches water again. Yeah. Yeah, it. Adam said up here, it's a miracle. He's not talking into the mic, but that's okay. I'll repeat what he says. I blame Adam. I believe it's a miracle. The thing about these 680 acres that the tribe had gotten back, we didn't pay a dime for it. People came from different foundations, different areas, you know, California, Sonoma County. It was just a collaborative of people who came together to put the money together for us to be able to get those lands ceded back into our tribe. And so when I mean touch water, we literally get to touch the water from our lands that we don't have to worry about trespassing onto someone else's land. And we're learning what our identity is again, being on the coast, and what that stewardship responsibility is and how important it is as Kashaya people that we answer our call. You know, our call. And so kind of going back to where I started this whole thing, you know, I would go up to my ranch. Well, we call it rancheria here in California. We call it res, you know, off the res. I would go up to my res and I would dance. My grandma took me up there to be able to learn ceremonies and songs and dance our dances and all these different things, but the church was telling my parents, what are you doing? Why are you letting your kids go up there? Why are you letting your boys go up there? My brother's name is Reno, by the way. Me and Reno, we kind of flop seats sometimes because we're only allowed to be in this seated as a chairman for 2 years at a time. And we're able to be voted back into that position twice, but then we can't run for that position again. I've been actually on my tribal council since 2004, so I've been on there quite a long time. But kind of getting back again, because I'll jump all over the place, trust me, I really will. That was what was happening. And I didn't know that was happening to my parents. I had no clue that that was going on, but it was obviously affecting my brother and I because we saw it in the strain on my parents' relationship. And every time we were getting ready to go out the door with grandma and grandpa up to the res, yeah, there was a little bit of, you could just feel it in the air, like, I don't know that my mom wants me going up there, and I don't know. You know, I never really got into all the talks with them about that. But my dad did say he went through it with the church. Well, fast forward that into my teenage years, and by this time I was already kind of just a mess, and culture was off the table, God was pretty much off the table, and I thought I would go find myself in some other things. Alcohol became a big thing for me at a very young age. As you know, that was a killer of our people. It was a killer of our culture. I heard a comedian once say that had there been honest bartenders, they would have told our people, hey, look, I got to cut you off because you're losing your land. Isn't that the truth? So alcohol led into drugs that later led into gangs. I ran here in Santa Rosa at one point. Press Democrat printed in their press that there was three particular gangs in Santa Rosa, and one of them was a little bit more violent than the others, and that was who I ran with. We were pretty violent people. And by that time, I was enthralled with my other side of my culture, which was my Polynesian side, because I'm also Hawaiian. And my people come from Maui, but we were given land in Molokai, and so our last name is Makaivi, and that's my mom's side. And so that's what happened. A lot of incarceration, a lot of troubles, a lot of this and that, a lot of, you know, going the wrong direction. And I always say about me and Adam, like, he went to the right because he went the right way. I went to the left, but God brought us all the way back around to the other, and we met up in the middle on another side. Amen for that, because, you know, I'll be honest about that. I really missed Adam during those times. Like, Adam really was a big impact into my life. I would wait for him to show up. When I knew Adam was coming into town, I'd wait at Covenant Community School, so I knew, because I knew one thing we would do is we'd play some basketball. We would, you know, do something athletic, because that's just the way it was with Adam. I loved that about Adam. I just loved being around him, really. And I still love being around him. It's great. I'm so glad and grateful for that. But to get back again to that whole idea of, well, you know, I kind of lost it there for a minute. God brought me back into his good graces. And obviously, he had his hand on my life all this time. All that time, right? Obvious, because I should have been dead. I should have been gone. There was a whole lot of reasons for Dino not to exist on the earth anymore. But he had a better plan for me. And I rededicated my life back in 2003, where, you know, I was with the lady that I'm with currently, that I'm married to now since 2003. What's that, 22 years? Oh, I better know. Good thing she's not here. Actually, that's not true. She does that to me, too, so that's all right. Yeah, ladies, don't act like you don't do that to your husbands, please. Because you do. It was always on our shoulders to always know those years, I think. But she did that to me recently. I was like, yes, I got her finally. She's losing it. No. I moved up to Ukiah from Sonoma County because it was time. I had to get away from here. Somehow, some way, I needed to find something, and I thought geographics was going to be the answer. I had just gotten done doing a couple years, and I was out 2001, and I was like, yeah, this, okay, I'll shoot up there to Ukiah. I've never been up there. Thought it would be different. Thought I would be able to stay away. Nah, you just, it's just another town that you fall right back into the same old stuff without Christ in your life and without God in your life and without, being led by the Holy Spirit. You are just going to find your way right back to the mud. And that's what I did. I found myself right back in the mud again. And with this lady, her name's Patty. She's beautiful. We have such an awesome story together. I'll get to that in just a second here. She thought she was hanging out with a partier. I was a lot more than that. I was not a partier. I had the outside appearance of a partier, but when it gets deep into addiction, whew, it gets bad. It gets very, very ugly, very, very dark. And she saw that. So I tell people all the time, I scared her right into church. And that was a good thing, right? She went to church. She came back on she left. I didn't really notice. She came back, and I felt something different. I could tell. And she said, I went to church today. I was like, great. Good for you. Cool. That's all I could say. Whatever. That's what I thought. And the idea was that she said, well, you won't be sleeping in this room anymore. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll go find something else somewhere else. No, I knew I didn't want something else somewhere else. I knew I wanted to be with her, but you ain't going to get me to admit that during that time. And so, well, I tell folks all the time, I'm a product of a praying mom and a praying wife. My wife would pray for me when I was coming down off of meth. You get into such a bad place where you sleep, nothing will wake you up. And that was the time she would lay hands on my head and she'd begin to pronounce out loud into the air, he is going to be a man of God. He is going to be saved. All these things that she would speak into my life that came to fruition, but she wouldn't do it while I was awake. And probably rightfully so, because I probably would have bawled her out. I was an abuser. I do bring that up too. Domestic violence heavily, because I was a witnesser. I witnessed it. I practiced it. It's just that simple. Everything I saw, I did. That was bad or negative, I did. And so that's why she didn't do that. And I remember the one time that I did decide that I was going to get angry enough that it looked anything close to that, she said, it ain't going to happen in my house. She's awesome. I'm telling you right now. She's a fireball. And so it was no sleeping with her while she was, we weren't married. And it was, nope, you ain't bringing no violence in my house. Whoop-de-whoop-whoop. She's good, y'all. You guys need to meet her at some point. And the reason I believe God had really put her in my life is because we have this story, this amazing story of culture, God, and understanding who we are as a people, and getting back to the fact that, you know what, when Adam called me up and was telling me about this crazy, goofy little walk that he's doing from Sonoma all the way to Fort Ross, I'm sorry, I talk crazy, I am crazy at times, but I'm crazy because God knew what he needed. He needed someone crazy to do these things, and that's just the way I am. I talk that way. Oh, I like this better. But anyways, we get saved, we're serving the Lord, we're in the church, we're doing the Wednesday nights, the Sunday morning, Sunday before church, the Sunday during church, the Sunday evening, we're Fridays, prayer meetings, this, that, men's group, women's, everything. We're doing it all. There's a big hole in our walk with the Lord. There was a big hole, and I seen it, and I knew it, and there was something that wasn't right for me. And what was going on was I was still going up to the res and I was still going up to the roundhouse. I would do things at the roundhouse, and I'm feeling better about it now because now I'm not drunk, I'm not high, you know. I'm doing it, I think, for all the right reasons. And we get home one after roundhouse. And roundhouse is a place where we dance particular dances. It's actually part of our religion, and I didn't know that. I'll get into that in just a second here, but I get home and we go to sleep, wake up, and my wife says to me, "God gave me a word." And every time she would say that, I'd be like, "Oh no, what did I do? What did I do?" And I'm beating myself because it's like, dang, you know, I got a lot of work to be done on myself. I'm just, you know, yeah, I'm serving the Lord, but come on now. We know we aren't polished when we come to the Lord. We are rough, and you guys, I probably look like a piece of concrete. A chunk of concrete is probably what I look like. And you know those little gems that are inside the concretes? That's how much work had to be done on me. And so I'm thinking, oh, no, what did I do? Okay. And she says, God said, we're not to go to your roundhouse anymore. And, man, I'll tell you, if you would have probably, I probably gave her a really, really bad, dirty look because I was like, oh, here we go again. Man, seriously? Like, really? You really believe God's telling you that? And I didn't tell her that, obviously, but that's how I felt inside. Felt like it was a punch in the stomach. I'm thinking, man, all right, whatever. And now I'm kind of getting that feeling like what my pops had talked to me about, like, oh, this is starting all over again. Church is going to get in the way of me being Native. But I listened. It wasn't much longer after that I had a crazy vision. My vision was way different. Mine was of my son. His name is Tim Keone Franklin. We call him Wuppa, because there was a bunch of boys that were born around the same time. All cousins, first cousins, all the sisters. We had there's a big family. So. My wife counted their nieces and nephews. There's 120-something nieces and nephew in her family. Yeah, it's interesting. They're a real giant Indian family. Yeah, but I'll tell you why that I said that later on. But anyways, it's kind of an interesting thing because everybody will call their sons Papa. You know, hey, Papa, you know, and then all of a sudden there's all these boys and all of them are looking up at the same time when one person says it, and they don't know who you're talking to. They just know that they're called Papa and their family. So my wife started calling my son Tim Wuppa with a W, just to kind of, and he's stuck with them. He's a big, big boy. I call him Wuppa Bear, and then I call him Bear at times. He's, you know, good 6 foot, 6 foot one, and he's about good 350, if not maybe a little bigger. He's a big boy, he's strong. And the Lord gives me this vision of him dancing. And it's not just that normal dance. As we were sitting up here and the lights got brighter, I was like, oh, man, is God shining down on us? No, somebody made those lights go up a little higher. But with him, I knew it was God that was shining down on him. Because he was dancing in this light, and there was so much peace. And the way he was dancing was so fluent and just beautiful. I mean, I was captured by this vision. But I woke up and I said, what's that about, Lord? I'm literally talking out loud. Why'd you have to show me that? What are you doing? What's going on? I don't get this. You just told my wife we can't go to Roundhouse, and now you're going to show me my son? And by the way, my son at the time was only 3, and this is him as a grown man. Okay? This was him as a grown man dancing in the light. And I'm like, that doesn't make no sense. And I ain't going to tell Patty because I'm not going to start an argument, and that's not going to happen, and we're not going to go there. But the thing was, Lord said, go talk to your cousin, Clarence. I'm like, Clarence? He lives all the way over there in Point Arena. I don't want to call it Point Arena. And I didn't. I ain't going to lie. A couple months, 4 months later, I'm like down in Point Arena. I'm over in Point Arena for my job. And I'm on the res, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta go talk to Cousin Clarence. Hopefully he's home. I don't know if he'll be home or not, just coming up unannounced. Go up to his door and I knock on the door and he's there. And I said, Cuz, I gotta tell you something. I don't know how you're gonna handle this. You might think I'm nuts. Is what it is, but here's the story. And I tell him exactly what happened. Patty gets a word, we're not to go to the roundhouse. I get a vision of my son dancing in the light. God tells me to come talk to you. What's up? It was awesome. Like, my cousin Clarence, he's a very strong cultural person. He knows who we are as a people. He sings, he dances, he knows his language. He's two tribes. He's Pornarina and Kashaya. And he has this relationship with the Lord, but it isn't based in being in a church, in a four-wall church. I'm just, you know, putting that out there. It's based on his relationship with the Father. And so he goes, oh, this is easy. Like, easy. He broke it down for me. He's like, well, let me tell you, Dino. The roundhouse is religion. And what God's telling you is he doesn't want you to be involved with religion. What does that mean? He doesn't want you involved with religion. Okay. And what he's showing you is he's giving you a glimpse of what we do, what we call the big time. The dancing's that outside the roundhouse. Those dances are for celebration, festive. They don't have religious purpose, and there is nothing attached to that in that way. I didn't know that. All I've ever danced is roundhouse. My kids are learning how to dance outside the roundhouse. I never stopped them from doing that because all of a sudden now Patty has this other vision. Oh, I'm supposed to start a dance group. Okay, we're not supposed to go to roundhouse. I get that. I'm going over to talk to Cousin Clarence, and we're figuring all this out, that there's religion and there's festiveness. His culture is what it is. And so this is happening, and God is moving in this. And I'm being obedient, and I'm not going to roundhouse, and I'm not getting involved with religion. That was a big one. That was a big one for me, because it wasn't just about Pomo religion. It was about the religious spirit that could happen in churches, that church people sometimes carry around without even knowing, because they're more into rules than they are into relationship. And God was teaching me to have a relationship. He was actually breaking that spirit of religion off my life, both in the native sense and in the church sense, because I really wasn't sure that my wife was really supposed to be doing this dance group. But she started dancing outside the roundhouse. And church people started saying, what is she doing? Hey, Dino, why is your wife over there dancing? Ooh, boy, you... First of all, don't ever ask me a question about my wife like that, ever. Okay, you're going to learn real quick. But then I have elders telling me this, and I'm like, I can't talk to elders that way. I can't. I've been taught better. I love my grandmas. My grandmas taught me well. You don't talk to elders that way. And so when it started being elders coming to talk to me about this, it's like, oh, man, how do I explain this to them? I don't know what to say. Well, Cousin Clarence gave me this you know, message, but how are you guys supposed to believe Cousin Clarence? Because you guys don't even believe that Patty's supposed to be dancing. And here she is. She's dancing. Well, here's the other kicker. All the natives are going, why is she over there dancing? Doesn't she go to church? Wow. See how all that comes together? I mean, those walls are serious. Those walls are up. That's Jericho walls. We got to break those. Those things need to come crumbling down, because it's not just on one side, it's on both sides. And they were believing that Patty shouldn't be dancing because she goes to church, and church said, you shouldn't be dancing because you go to church. Well, where's the Father in all that? Where are we talking about where the Father's heart is in this? And that's where we were trying to get to. We didn't know right out the gate. This is new to us. And this is why I love my wife so much. She stayed so faithful in that, walking that path. She knew that she knew that she knew. And I think it was there was a difference because I had experienced religion so heavily in my life that it was trying to keep its grip on me. It was trying to whisper in my ear that, you know what, she may not be totally correct here. And I don't, you know, doesn't the word say you're the head of the household? And is she trying to take that from you? All these things are going through my mind, and I'm really struggling with it all. So it's been a long journey. This all started around 2009, 2010. And God just keeps giving us glimpses of glory, of greatness, his heart. So kind of coming back to some of this, you know, we started getting good words about this. Sometimes when you have such great opposition, you know you're going in the right direction. I love that too, because there's no peace in that opposition. There's peace when you're going in the direction you're supposed to, and God's right there with you. And he started to speak to me and started giving me some really good messages about, well, I think the most important one was, I gave you your culture so that I could be glorified through it. Wow, that made so much sense. Because I didn't understand our songs. I didn't understand why we did things. But man, I tell you, if you don't understand and you want relation with the Father, you'll find it here. This is a good place. But go out in his creation and just be with him. That's why I love the walk. Even though we're walking with a whole bunch of people, we're still out in the creation. And sometimes you could just kind of separate yourself down and just kind of be with present with Father while you're walking. And there could be a whole bunch of people around you, but isn't it such a beautiful experience? So spiritual. And God started bringing me out to the woods, and he started bringing me out to the ocean, and he started taking me places I never thought about ever going on my own. And we just started talking and conversating, and he started giving me the strength I needed to walk on this path, especially to walk beside my wife on this path, because she needed that. She needed me to be there with her and to believe that this was the Lord that was doing these things. She's been now running the dance group for our children, her nieces, her nephews. They are all grown now. They are all grown in their 20s, and she's already working on the next generation. My grandkids are now dancing in that group, which is awesome. Our grandkids, I should say. So the next generation's already coming. And it's all because she stepped out in faith. And we had to understand that God was in it all, no matter what. The church, regardless of what people think about who we are as a people and how paganistic it might look like, let me tell you that there is probably some paganistic ways in some of the tribes. And there may be some of those things that may not look right. But let me tell you where we're at with us and our walk and our dance group and who we are. We're to give glory to God. Because God's the one that gave us that language. He gave us those songs. He gave us that dance. He dressed us up the way we were going to dress with our regalia, as you see on that mural over there. He gave us all those things so that he could be glorified in all of it. And come on, you talk about life and life more abundant. Well, guess what? That wasn't meant for us. That was meant for the people that came here to take over the lands. That was meant for everybody else but us Indians. We were in the way. We were hunted. We were out. There was good buku money given for people who could kill an Indian. We stood in the way of resources. They wanted the redwoods. They got a lot of redwood. They wanted the gold. They got a lot of the gold. We're still fighting over the water because the water, you know, obviously it's really important to water those vines out there so everybody can have wine, more so than life. So yeah, we fight. We're here to do the good work, but it's taking relationships like this now to change the face of what that looks like for my people. How many people in here are Native? Could anybody raise their hand that is? Where are you from?
Choctaw.
Sweet. One person? Yes. I love those Yaqui people, boy. They're some fighters. That's Geronimo's people. Yeah. Do you get to know who you are as a Native person? Do you? And no. How about you? Do you, ma'am? Do you know your culture and your traditions and things of that? Your language or any of those things?
Learning it.
That's good. Good. Really encourage you to do that. Really encourage you to do that because, you know, that's who God made you. He gave you that identity, just like he gave everybody in here that identity of who you are and how important that is that he put you into that tribe. There's all kinds of tribal people in here. Know who you are. You know, it's super important. For me, I saw the importance when I started to walk it out. And that's what was real important for me, to walk it out.
Can I jump in
here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I told Adam he could jump in anytime he wants.
All right. So, Dino, thank you for sharing your story. And I think that it's so significant for Sonoma County, but what you're talking about, especially this element where you as Kashaya, right now, you and your family, your wife's from another tribe.
Yeah.
But you and your family, you
she
feel
she has to be
this,
from another tribe or else we'd be cousins. So I just want to put that out there real quick.
You feel in this really torn place in certain ways because so much of the church kind of rejects or questions what you're doing because of how you are engaging with and expressing your culture and even expressing it in a way as worship to God, that it's part of how you practice your Christian faith is through the lens of your culture and those tribal practices. And then also your tribe rejects you because the church and Christians historically here in Sonoma County and in the North Bay, they were the ones who said, kill the Indian, save the man. And they demonized your culture. And so the people of the culture say, no, they're our enemies. They don't just want our lives. They want to destroy our culture. And so you're contending in the middle here in this place of saying, no, God doesn't want to destroy our culture. He wants to redeem our culture. There's something in our culture that's important to God's heart. So I emailed Dino this week as we were getting ready for this time. Again, I'm just so grateful to be here. It's not an accident we're here. Often when I minister here, I find that God causes me to take risks. Often when I'm here, I find that God invites me to speak about things I haven't felt free to speak about in other places. And there's a calling here. And so I texted Dino, my hope is that we will share things that will shape how they pray for a change in how the church in Sonoma County approaches ministry to the tribes, and that they can agree with God for a new and good way to be established for tribal followers of Jesus to express their culture for his glory. And I believe this is one of the calls on Sonoma County. This is something God wants all over the world, but I believe he's inviting us to step into this by the way he's put these relationships forward. And I was encouraged about this morning because I'm a guy who loves history and the news. Some of you know me and all of that. And so I was looking at the newspaper this morning, and on B7, it's probably it'll probably be the least read page in the Press Democrat. You mentioned the Press Democrat. On B7, that's the public notice sheet. It's just a bunch of really fine print that no one cares about. But you go there, you look in the bottom right corner, Sonoma County History Society bought a little block, and they highlight something about history. And for them, when they're talking about history, usually it's like from the beginning of like when Europeans or the non-indigenous tribes came. It's like that history. And it said 1808, 1812. 1808, the first Russian ship comes down and is looking for a spot and explores Bodega Bay. 1812 says the Russians establish Fort Ross on Matini, Kashaya land. This is today's paper. And it says, and the first church was established in Sonoma County. And that was in today's paper when I knew we were going to be speaking here today. And what I want to encourage us with is this, is that this is really prophetic, I believe, in the Spirit. The very first room dedicated for people to come and worship Jesus was chosen to be established on the land that Dino's people have been stewarding for this time. And because of time, we won't be able to go into all of it, but God had given them prophecies that people would be coming with a book referencing the Bible that would show them to the way of life. God gave them the symbol of the cross as a holy symbol for their people before anyone ever came. God gave them stories that matched stories in the Bible. Dino references before anyone ever came. God claimed the Kashaya people for his glory before anyone ever came. And when we think about representing the people of God in this land, the very first church was established on land that they were stewarding. And the very first time that Dino's been invited to speak at a church service in Sonoma County was here on a day when that was printed in the newspaper. So there's
Adam's
something going
like that,
on
huh?
here.
Adam could put some stuff together, let me tell you.
So I do want to give us a couple scriptures, and then we're going to talk about how we pray, and I know we need to wrap up. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Ephesians 2:10. And there's a description of the church that says, we are his workmanship. It's the word poema in the Greek. It's where we get the word poem. It's got art to it. But in that time, it was most often, it was used for works of art, masterpieces, but it was most often a description of a royal robe or tapestry. You think like a coat of many colors. So this is who God's made us to be as a church. And Paul puts that in chapter 2 in the midst of an argument where he's talking about the fact that we are one new man in Christ Jesus. And the old walls of animosity and division have been torn down in him. And there's no longer meant to be an animosity, a hatred in the hierarchy of God between Jew and Gentile. And it's speaking into this picture that's so important because we know at that very time the church was in an absolute battle of distinction between true faith, the true religion, and culture. In God, in Acts 15, we see him break in and say that to become who I want you to be as the church, you don't have to become Jewish in culture. You have to let the King of the Jews redeem the culture that he's called you out of and in. If you can hear me here. He's always wanted a coat of many colors so that when it says in Revelation 7 of the picture of heaven that every nation, tribe, and tongue will be proclaiming Jesus, we're not going to be speaking in English. Some will. Some will. But there's going to be so many different dance, so many different songs, so many different languages, so many different expressions of culture. And when Jesus gave us the Great Commission that we talk about in the church, and it says, you know, make disciples of all nations, politics is part of that word, but it's not a political word. It's a cultural world. It's an ethnos. It's an ethnic people, culture, tribe, world. And he's telling us, go and engage with them so I can be glorified as I come into that culture. So you can see life and life abundant from it.
Yeah, it really wasn't about go and conquer and destroy and take them completely out. Right?
That's right. Yeah. And last scripture here, Acts 2 and Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls. He said, wait to go and bring the gospel until the Holy Spirit comes in power. And so the Holy Spirit falls, and they start speaking in tongues, and the manifestation of the power of the Spirit, and it's so profound and beautiful and significant. And the first element of it, it says that there were people in Jerusalem. This happened at a feast time. So there were people living in Jerusalem from all these different nations and people visiting Jerusalem from all these different nations. And it lists, like, I don't know, 7, 14. I don't want to get into all of it because I can't say all the words right. But what biblical historians will tell us is this. It'll tell us that most of the people who were living in Jerusalem at that time and that feast at that time could either speak Hebrew or Aramaic. The disciples could have talked to them in their own native tongue. They could have proclaimed Jesus just like Peter did. Peter gets up and he proclaims in a language they're all able to hear. But the first thing that they heard from the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of God having them praise God and give glory to God in their native tongue. And missiologists say this is one of the reasons why they were cut to the heart when they heard the preaching of Jesus. I mean, the preaching of Peter when he spoke in their second language. Because they had already heard the praise of God in their native tongue. Related language and culture are inseparable. And Jesus was saying from the very beginning, my Spirit has come to meet you in your culture and through your culture and in your language. I want you to know of my glory in your language and in your native tongue. And so when we've been sent here to bring good news, I really believe that, yes, it's to all the people in Santa Rosa and Sonoma County, but the church still has an assignment to make disciples in what God means by that, of the Kashaya. And I'm just humbled. I'm gonna give government classifications, not true tribal names, of the Kashaya, which is true tribal name, of the Southern Pomo, of the Coast Miwok, of the Wapo, of all the native ethnos of this place. God has called us to pray for them and to reach them and to bring the gospel to them in a way that picture of Revelation 7, Jesus is going to hear Kashaya praising him and Coast Miwok praising him. And he's going to see their dances. He's going to see their language. I'm broken, guys, but I didn't dress like this morning. But God prompted Dino to give me this necklace today. And it's right in the very picture of what we're talking about right here. So
you mentioned the word restoration earlier. And a lot of that word, you know, I've heard coming from some of the tribes is conciliation. I think, John, you know some of this, and we hear it a lot, you know. There's reconciliation, conciliation. Reconciliation means reconciling something that has, you know, was gone wrong, right? But there's conciliation, coming to the table, to come actually to the table. Tribes were never brought to the table. No one asked us what we were doing. How come you're doing that stuff? Why are you dressing that way? Why are you talking that way? Why are you singing that song? None of those things were done. I think what I'm getting the opportunity to do, and it's still a learning thing for me, is to tell you what some of those things are, to give you an idea, not to be fearful if you're seeing a bunch of Indians dancing around a fire. Be more fearful if they're around a car drinking 40s. But but not so bad when they're dancing around the fire. But the restoration is the word, because what Adam's talking about is allowing God to restore the vision, to restore the Great Commission, to restore the fact that his spirit was about making disciples and not crushing people. And so I love that, Adam.
So I'm going to be bold here. And I don't want to put pressure on anybody in this way. Just know there's, I mean, you know, it's a culture of freedom here. There's no should in this framework. But if your heart's somehow been stirred, that God wants to add as part of your prayer life, the evangelism, the biblical evangelization of the tribes of Sonoma County for God's glory, because there is a rift. It is a broken relationship. And he wants you to begin to contend in prayer for this. I'm going to invite you to stand up, and then I'm going to just ask Dino if he'd be willing to just pray for us as we start this prayer journey together, as we start this relationship in this way.